to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and it is 11th of January 2013, so Happy New Year. I personally love New Year. I'm not a big fan of the end of the year or Christmas, actually. I'm a bit of a Grinch, but I love New Year. I love the new things that we can all achieve, and yeah, I feel very hopeful and positive and amazing things happening in the publishing world. And yeah, very excited. So Happy New Year to everyone. And this is episode number 146. And you can find the backlist at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. So today it's just me, which is funny. I haven't done a podcast all on my own for ages. And I'm talking about the state of self-publishing and then five things to get sorted for 2013. Interviews will resume in the next podcast. So I'll be doing a bit of an update first, then go into a whole load of stuff that I think you should know about for self-publishing. And then, yeah, five more things to get sorted. So starting off with an update, excitingly, just before Christmas, my third novel, Exodus, came out and as an ebook, and was part, sort of published on around the 17th, and then on the 21st, it was part of a promotion, 99 authors, 99 books for 99 cents, and that also got picked up by Amazon and was part of the Kindle Daily Deal program on the Amazon US store. So firstly, that was amazing, and I got involved in that promotion through relationships that I built at Thrillerfest. So many of you are going to say, oh my goodness, how do I do that? Well, the fact is, I just, somebody asked me to join the promotion, I joined the promotion, and these people organised it. So that was marvellous, and it was through their relationships on Amazon. So I definitely think that relationships with other authors is critical, and many people say, oh, you know, don't bother networking with other authors, that's not the point. You know, this is a life, and we need friends, and we can also help do promotions like this. So this is quite exciting. So Exodus ended up on the front page of the Amazon Daily Deal, amusingly under literary fiction. Now, I had mixed feelings about this. First of all, it is it's marketed as a thriller, it's billed as a thriller, but apparently they have these algorithms that go through and check the language and things, and they put it in literary fiction. So I'm actually quite pleased in a way, because I do try and write with a kind of, you know, good writing and lovely description and things like that, but it's still thriller pacing. But I was also a little bit annoyed, because I thought I'd probably sell more if I was in thrillers. So the upshot is we did really well. You know, my rankings, I ended up around 300, I think, in the Amazon store overall. So that was great. And it was at 99 cents, so it wasn't a free promotion, it was actually a paid promotion. So that was pretty good. And I ended up with the biggest month of sales yet. So that is exciting. But that's also partly to do with having three books. I didn't actually, I think I only sold about 500 copies on that day of Exodus, and then, you know, things got better over the rest of the month. So obviously the rankings really help. But I think my overall point is that having three books really helps in terms of income, but also, you know, keep looking for relationships that you can build with other people, not for any ulterior motive, but these kind of things just happen when you get to know people. So that's one thing. Another thing is The Creative Pen has been voted one of the top 10 blogs for writers for the third year running on Write to Done, and that's partly voted for. So thank you if you voted for me, and also then judged by a whole load of sort of self-publishing stars, sorry, writing stars. It's very exciting. And it's also been voted one of the top 10 blogs for self-publishers on Future of Ink. So thank you for that as well. I'm really chuffed, and I don't know, it makes me feel very positive about continuing with the podcast and the blog. And obviously, quite a lot of work goes into it all. And some days I think I should probably just be writing books. But as I said, part of this is my life now. I'm a full-time author entrepreneur. I love helping other people. And yeah, I'm really proud of what the Creative Pen has sort of become over time. So yeah, that's exciting. I also appreciate, you know, that a lot of people have questions, and I did a survey of my email list before Christmas, and the number one question that still comes out is, how do I sell more books? How do I market my book? And various other questions about book marketing. When last year I thought about I must write a book on book marketing, I'm sort of like, oh my goodness, but it's so huge and other people have done it, and you know, but I think I'm going to do that this year. So watch this space. I will be producing a book on book marketing as well as the fiction. On that topic, I'm currently 50,000 words into what is the working title, Hunterian, which is the first of, at the moment, two books, but might go longer depending on where it goes, because this book I will be giving to my agent. I won't be self-publishing it, at least at first, until we've tried to find it a home with traditional publishing. Now, I have talked before about, you know, reasons why I want to be a hybrid author, as in somebody who does both traditional publishing and self-publishing. So that's really my aim. And although my agent picked me up last July after Thrillerfest, we did put, I rewrote Pentecost and she pitched it as Arcane to a number of publishers. We got rave reviews, as they're known, but essentially people saying, you know, they want something new. So this book is new series. It's less religious focused, as in, you know, Arcane series, you know, with titles like Pentecost, Prophecy and Exodus is clearly around a Christian mythology, religious aspect, although they're not specifically Christian books. But these books will be more crime thriller. Although I can't escape the supernatural, and I'm finding it's got a sort of more of a James Herbert feel, sort of supernatural horror side to things. So I'm excited about these books. They're new characters, the whole thing, different world entirely to the Arcane books, so that's exciting. But for people who like my Arcane books, I will, after this first book, I will be writing an Arcane novella centered around the ancient relics and the horrific past of Budapest in Hungary, where I visited in November. And then I'll be getting into Arcane number 4, which when Morgan and Jake will have an adventure around the mysticism of Kabbalah, the Jewish mysticism, and also around the Inquisition. So lots more gory death scenes and religious stuff, so that's cool. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on for me as well. I have a lot of speaking happening. I've been booked to go back to Zurich. I'm doing some days for a company called Escape the City. We're helping people in corporate jobs do other things. So that's more about the kind of small business aspect, following your dreams, having a passion business, lifestyle business. So I'm excited about that. And so lots booked, really, for me. Okay, let's talk about the state of self-publishing. Now, I wanted to do a segment on this in this podcast, and you know, part of the reason you've just got me for this show is because there's so much to tell you. Now, I'm totally aware that many of the people who listen to this podcast don't actually read the blog, may not read other kind of industry stuff. So I wanted to just give you a few tidbits so you are up to speed with everything. So first of all, exciting news is that Smashwords is now accepting EPUB files, which is great. One of the reasons I moved to BookBaby was because Smashwords, you know, you had to do the Word file and I didn't like that, and I like the EPUB you could use with BookBaby. So now Smashwords is accepting EPUB for specific types of books. But that's fantastic. So just in case you didn't know about that, it just means if you're not very techie, that people who want to format their books in a sort of a way before submitting to the Smashwords meat grinder, it means they can have a more professional layout. The other thing I wanted to share is I've been reading some, predictions. There was one prediction on digitalbookworld.com, which is fantastic, around predictions for next year. And one of the things that's very interesting is by the end of 2013, 65% of US children will have access to an e-reading device. And this follows a lot of kind of news I've been hearing. So, for example, Sourcebooks, who's an American publisher, they do a lot of kids' books, are doing primarily iPad, iBookstore books, because a lot of American schools are moving to tablets, moving to the iPad. Interestingly, I also heard at a conference Kobo talking about going to a digital education thing in the Middle East, and some country basically saying I'll have 20 million Kobo devices because we're going to move all of our teaching materials onto tablets. Now, I mean, that just seems obvious when you think about the massive backpacks you see kids sort of carrying around, and also how much easier it is to update textbooks with the latest information. So it absolutely seems obvious that education will be moving more to tablets and digital learning, that type of thing, instead of books. It will also save a lot of money. And I know that some people will, some education authorities will go with the Kindle, others with the Kobo, others with the iPad. But the point is that if these kids are learning on these devices, ebooks, e-reading, it's just reading, it's just learning. This is not something that's going away. And the fact that tablets and e-readers are now mainstream, just I found this Christmas to be evident by the fact that my mum has got a Kindle. Now, my mum is terribly tech phobic, and she got a Kindle Paperwhite, which she got out the box, couldn't do anything with. She phoned the Amazon helpline, and a lovely man apparently spent half an hour with her on the phone, helped her set it all up, and also directed her to the free book area, of which she downloaded 700 books. So by the time I spoke to her and also encouraged her to buy books, because obviously she had to go and buy mine, but trying to encourage my mum to spend as well. I was impressed by the customer service, but also they are obviously sort of aimed at helping people who are a bit tech phobic. My dad is also wavering, and he is an artist and a hardcore print fan. So if he goes, then I'm declaring that, the ebook is definitely mainstream. But there has also been, lots of press around ebook sales. Sorry, ebook growth is declining, and I think it is at around 30% of sales or volume. I can't remember. I'll try and link to the posts in the show notes. But it doesn't seem surprising that the growth is slowing, because it seems to be so ubiquitous now. Certainly in big cities, certainly in London, everybody is reading on a tablet or a phone on the tube. So, yeah, I guess why I wanted to say that. Oh, a couple more things on this before I give you your action. The Google tablet, the Google phone, Google computer, the Chromebook are also everywhere at the moment, and if the early adopters are moving to Google Play, which also has a bookstore, one of the things I'm very interested in this year is working out how we get on Google Play. I'm pretty sure you can if you're in the US, but we can't outside the US, so that's something to be looking at. And one of the other sort of big predictions for this year, and where the stats are going, is that global sales will outstrip US sales for ebooks in 2013. So there's sort of a race on, it looks like. Amazon are aggressively moving into countries. Kobo is in, a ridiculous number of countries now. iBookstore has also gone sort of global. And some people are saying, keep an eye on Apple, they're very quiet. And personally, I make now probably around still about 85% of my money on Amazon, but every so often I get a big spike on Kobo, and Kobo is definitely growing for me. I still make nothing on iBookstore or Nook or anything like that, so yeah. I don't know. I would like to interview somebody about how to specifically advertise or market on iBookstore and on Nook. So if anybody knows anyone, please email me, joanna@thecreativepen.com. Or if you're an author who has had outstanding sales or breakout sales on iBookstore or Nook, yeah, you can email me because I definitely want to do a show on that. Okay, so all of those things, all that sort of update was to say that the big action is make sure your books are available as ebooks. Now, I know some of you will be like, duh, that's crazy. But I do quite a bit of consulting, private consulting, and so many times the very first thing I have to say to people is, why isn't your book available as an ebook? And they're like, oh, well, I don't really read ebooks. And the important thing is you are not the market. So for example, I only buy ebooks. Well, 99% of the time I buy ebooks. If your book is not an ebook, I will not be buying it. So yeah, really important. Make sure your book's available as ebooks and not just on Amazon. I think that KDP Select is great for specific situations, and indeed definitely do the first 3 months great, you know, because KDP Select means you have to be exclusive to Amazon. After you've done the 3 months, take the book off, and well, not don't take it off Amazon, take it off KDP Select and put it on the other stores. Now Smashwords is there, or you can use BookBaby, and you can go direct to Kobo Writing Life. If you're in America, you can go direct to Nook Pubit. So yeah, definitely make sure your book's available as ebooks and everywhere, because you just don't know. Seriously, you don't know where the sales will take off. You might suddenly be selling really well in Nigeria. Who knows? My brother is marrying a Nigerian, so I'm getting far more interested in the Nigerian market at the moment. Right, another interesting thing that has been reported by quite a few authors, and I'm a member of the Alliance of Independent Authors, which is fantastic. We have a really good Facebook group, and a number of us have found that Amazon is notifying some authors that books are not formatted correctly. Often these are books that have been available for a couple of years on the Kindle store, and I think basically what's, although it's not said directly in the email, essentially the tablets, the Fire, the newer Kindles have a kind of more, you know, you have to have a better formatted book basically. Some books have been removed, for example, for not having a table of contents. So make sure you read the small print of the Amazon. If you're formatting it yourself, what, look at the small print. I got an email from Amazon that said some alignment was out on one of my books, and because I use Scrivener, I put a comment on the forum, and the fantastic Scrivener customer service, Keith, who's the guy, who's the tech guy who does the whole thing, put an updated version up there for me to use, and it seems to be fine now. But definitely, if you use Scrivener and you have a problem, put a note on the Scrivener forum. And if you get an email from Amazon about your formatting, then contact your formatter or whoever did it, or yeah. Often it seems to be a table of contents, so just check your book. They also seem to be targeting authors who are selling more books first. So if you haven't had an email yet, you may still get one. So I wanted to just tell you about that because it totally freaked me out. And I know a number of authors who also had great stress about this. So that's important. One of the other things that a number of people have said on their sort of year-end predictions and things for 2013, and I guess also things that I've noticed, is that publishers are putting out their backlists on the Kindle and other ebook stores. So as fast as new authors and you know, medium authors are joining the throngs of books on Amazon, there's also this massive influx of books of well-known authors. So I mentioned James Herbert because I've just started reading his books again. You know, he was big in the 80s, huge, huge. And obviously some people have carried on reading him. I haven't read him for years. So I've recently found him again on the Kindle and rereading his books. But also quite interesting, some books are not there. So for example, I looked for Thomas Harris's Silence of the Lambs, which I wanted to read again, and it's not on Kindle. So it's very weird. But basically what's happening is publishers are putting out these backlists, new authors are joining. There's a sort of massive influx of get rich quick guys who are sort of saying, do this. There's been a recent article about algorithm driven books, where 800,000 books were generated from algorithms, and apparently you couldn't tell the difference. I mean, these were presumably non-fiction actually, but yeah, there's quite a lot of these make a killing on Kindle books, and many of them have some good advice, but that I have seen some that essentially sort of peddle hope on keyword optimization and fake reviews, which I hope you would have heard of the whole sock puppet review thing. Just be really careful about all of that. But I do think, you know, and a number of people have said, it's not so easy anymore. It's not, you know, you can't just throw a book up and expect it to do really well. I'm not sure it was ever that easy, but certainly there are more books and more authors, and that shows no sign of stopping. Now, I don't think this is a bad thing. I absolutely believe in everybody's right to express themselves and publish and put their work out there. I do think that you know, readers like me, like you, we're not stupid. So we look for things we like and we want, and that obviously the discoverability is the biggest issue. So for me, it really is a matter of keep focusing on the core fundamentals. And I should say that actually walking into a print bookstore is just as depressing as looking on Amazon on those days where you think, oh my God, I'm never going to, you know, make an impact on the world. You know, you're surrounded by hundreds, thousands of amazing books. But yeah, keep focusing on the fundamentals, which is write a good book, write another great book, put good covers on them, write great blurbs, get some good reviews, collect emails of your fans, email your fans, and do it again. I don't think that fundamental has changed despite all the rest of the other stuff we can do for marketing. Those things remain, you know, the core fundamentals. So yeah, that's your action for that part, is really, you know, focus on those fundamentals. And when you get sort of blown about by the negativity around, oh, so many writers, so many books, don't worry about that. Right, so I found something else interesting in the Ether for Authors, which is a great regular article by Porter Anderson on publishingperspectives.com. There's a piece about the upcoming Digital Book World conference, which I would definitely go to if I could. It's in January in New York, January 15th to 17th, so coming up soon. There's going to be a session titled Straddling the Models, Authors Choosing to Both Self and Traditionally Publish. Now, this is what I call the hybrid model, and essentially they're going to have Hugh Howie, who did the amazing Wool books, and the fact that he has signed a deal with Simon & Schuster for print rights only. He retains his electronic rights. So that's the first, I guess John Locke did it, but this deal with Simon & Schuster is kind of a sort of a push rather than just a distribution deal. So that's really fascinating. There's going to be a panel discussion about it. I think this is the first time I've heard of this being specifically addressed at an industry event. So times are definitely changing. And I mentioned earlier that I'm seeking this type of deal. I'm clearly not as big as Hugh Howie. I think he sold millions of books and made loads and loads of money. But essentially, you know, this is starting to become more mainstream, I guess. And there's been a number of articles around about how many self-publishers are in the top earners and top sellers from last year. So basically, I really think the stigma is, you know, on its way out. And you know, people are really recognising self-publishing. And on that, I also had Guy Kawasaki on the blog, between Christmas and New Year about his new book, Ape, which is author, publisher, entrepreneur. And yeah, it's a book on self-publishing. But what's interesting is Guy Kawasaki, if you don't know, is a very big business name. He wrote The Art of the Start, and you know, he's well known in the book business. He's also had a number of New York Times bestsellers. In addition, Seth Godin has also gone you know, into sort of doing things himself. And what I liked about Guy Kawasaki's book is that he kind of reframes things as artisanal publishing, or artisanal, or artisanal, or however you'd like to say it, but in terms of artisans who make stuff. So looking at artisanal publishing as basically taking care over what you're doing, doing it yourself, putting it out there like that, which is, I think it's a brilliant way of reframing self-publishing. So if you are struggling with people and you don't want to say you're self-published, say you're an artisan. Which is basically trendy. So that's cool. Okay, the only other thing I wanted to mention on the kind of state of self-publishing is that we saw the end of last year a whole load of big publishers, including Penguin and other places, joining up with Author Solutions, which is basically a vanity press, let's call it that, as in they charge a lot of money for their packages, and essentially the publishers are sort of focusing on earning money from authors instead of earning money on sales of books. This is slightly depressing, I guess. I'm a true believer that making creative stuff should be the basis of these companies' sort of bottom line. It shouldn't be author services, it should be creating amazing stuff that people want to buy. But there we go. But the most important thing is I get a lot of emails from people who are getting ripped off. So please educate yourself and the people around you, and check a site called Predators and Editors before committing to any kind of paid publishing. Okay, so I recommend, if you want to do print, do CreateSpace, do print on demand. You won't pay that much. But yeah, there's plenty more mergers in publishing and author services companies coming online every day. It does make for a confused environment. So yeah, check out Predators and Editors and tell other people about it, please, so we can stop people getting ripped off. Now, that section went on a bit longer than I expected. I hope you're still with me, because I wanted to talk about five things to get sorted in 2013. And this is kind of related to some of the big goals that I've set myself around word count and output in terms of fiction and non-fiction books that I want to write this year. Last year I did five multimedia courses. I did four with CJ Lyons on the Pro Writer series, and another big one, Turn Your Ideas Into Cash. So I focused last year on very much on building that entrepreneur side of my business and training other people. This year I am totally focusing on books, so I'm writing lots of books. So I have been refocusing on my process and how I do this. So I wanted to challenge you on a few things as well. So my number one thing to get sorted is commit to creating art. And this is from really from reading The Icarus Deception by Seth Godin, and I reviewed it on my site. But it's really one of the quotes which I love is, "Art is who we are and what we do and what we need. Art isn't a result, it's a journey. The challenge of our time is to find a journey worthy of your heart and your soul." So I think that's brilliant, because for me, it really is this journey. It's, you know, every book we create is just another step, and every sort of word we write on the way to that book is another step. And we have this really long life that goes so fleetingly, and yet what do we leave behind if not, you know, as much as we can of art? So for me, you know, an art, of course, can mean many things. For us, it's writing rather than physical art. Although I might add that I am going to look at actually creating a physical book as a bookbinder's at some point. But really, that creating art as a habit and committing to getting our words out there is really important. So creating art is basically a habit, and I've also been rereading Stephen Pressfield's book, Turning Pro, which I also reviewed on the blog, which is amazing, and includes things like the pro shows up every day and is committed for the long haul. So I really, you know, first of all, want to challenge you around your commitment to creating art in your life, in your day, and also the commitment for the long haul, and not just to be about this book or this day's sales, but really to look at what you want to create in a body of work over your lifetime. So yeah, big view there. Number two, sort out your idea capture and sorting process and to-do lists and stuff like that. Basically, as authors, publishers, marketers, we have to do, and also clearly wives, husbands, you know, mothers, fathers, all of, you know, all the things, workers, all the things we have to do in our lives. There's so much going on and in our brains, sometimes it's very hard to clear the space for capturing ideas. Now, I have been, last year I used a lot of paper, I used my Moleskine, I was writing in my notes app on my phone and emailing it to myself, but basically I was feeling totally overwhelmed by my inbox because I get a lot of email from readers of the blog, and my to-do lists were crazy, and with all these things going on with speaking and writing, I was just overwhelmed. And my Moleskines are great. I love writing in my Moleskine journals, but it's very difficult to, you know, flip through and find stuff. So I now have sorted out my process. That was like my number one thing I had to do. My process was not working. So what I'm doing now is I'm using an app called Things. It is a, you know, one of those productivity apps, but the great thing is it's on my iPhone and it's on my desktop on my Mac, and I've got categories for things, so I have to do actual to-dos with dates on, but I also have a category for just ideas and things that come to me that are not related to the book I'm writing but could be used in some other way, you know, all these different types of things that I collect all the time, you know, blog posts that I want to write, articles that I find that I want to go back to, but I don't want to read them now, that type of thing. I know other people use Evernote, which is also fantastic, but for me, Things is working incredibly well. I absolutely love it. Then when I'm writing on a specific book, I obviously use Scrivener. But what this has meant is I cleared my inbox completely and put all the tasks into Things, and just feel so much better. You know, you wouldn't believe it. It also means that I don't lose the little ideas that come to me. You know, for example, I was watching a TV program the other night about strange things in nature, and saw this amazing thing about storms on the edge of volcanoes and some of the weird things that happen there, and it was just awesome. So I, you know, I just jotted down a note in Things, and I don't know where I'll use that, but it will come up. I know it will. At some point that will resurrect itself in a book. So anyway, that is my process. I also heard, was reading somewhere about that, you know, one of the worst things creatives do is not have a process for this, as in some idea, flash of idea comes to them and they don't write it down, because our memories are not good. So yeah, write down flashes of things, write down your to-do lists, organize yourself. I've been incredibly organized with a diary for a long time, but this to-do list and idea kind of organization was critical. So that's my second thing for you. You've probably noticed that actually this list is a bit more about around, okay, the goals I've set for myself, but I also thought that it would be useful for you to kind of hear it too, and hope that it will challenge some of you. And of course I love to hear from you, so if you do find any of this useful, please do email joanna@thecreativepen.com. I do love to hear from you. So number three, sort out your writing process. I read a good book called 2K to 10K by a lady called Rachel Aaron. It's a very short book, again on Kindle, but her tips, you know, obviously moving 2K to 10K in a day, or in order to write that fast. Now, I'm not necessarily looking to write 10K a day. I'm not there yet. I'll, you know, go with that. I'm not there. But even doing 2K a day every day so that I can get to maybe 12,000, 14,000 words a week is more what I'm aiming for. So reading her book, the three things she mentions are knowledge, which is know what you're going to write before you write it, which I think is really interesting, and that's something I have taken to heart. I'm a hybrid plotter planner. I do have a broad idea of the plot, but then I do just free write often in my first draft, each of those scenes. And what I'm doing now is going for a walk in the morning, which is also good for the whole exercise thing. And I'm thinking about the scene and what I'm going to write. And then when I sit down to write it, it's going a lot quicker, it's going a lot faster. And I'm easily doing 1500, 2000 words without struggling as much as I was before, so that's really good. Second thing, obviously, allow more time or more writing blocks. I think that's important. I really can't, probably the max I can do is 4 or 5 hours of fiction in a day, because it's really very, very tiring. So I think having writing blocks is really good. So what I'm trying to do is do in the morning, I do my fiction, and then after I've done my fiction, I do things for the blog and non-fiction, that type of thing, which is easier for me. And the other thing she says is enthusiasm for what you're writing. So if you're dragging through a scene, the scene isn't interesting, you're not engaged, your reader's not engaged, give it up. Do another scene. You're not, your book isn't good enough, which I quite like that idea. So I do recommend that book, 2K to 10K, Rachel Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. I also recommend the self-publishing podcast with Sean Platt, David Wright and Johnny B. Truant. And Not for the Faint-Hearted is not a clean podcast, but the guys talk about their goals and how they write, and they're prolific. And part of the reason to listen to them is to just be astounded at how much they write, and it really kick you up the ass, basically make you go, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too. So that's pretty good. And the other thing is really sort of setting out production goals for the year. I've done a big spreadsheet with how many words a week I can do and how many books I can basically do in a year. So that is very cool. And I think the main thing around the editing thing is separate. It's writing the first draft material that you can then edit and shape later, I think is critical. And I'll also link to a post by Dean Wesley Smith on production goals around words of fiction per hour, hours per week, and how you can work out how you can basically ramp up your production. And again, I totally believe that writing fast, it doesn't compromise quality if you make sure it doesn't, and you still do the whole editing process. So I'm not suggesting you ditch your quality. I'm just suggesting that writing fast, writing better, writing efficiently is a good idea. Okay, fourth thing to get sorted, and I've already mentioned this, is get your books global. So I really challenge you to get your ebooks sorted and get them onto Kobo, Smashwords or BookBaby, so they're in the iBook store, and essentially remembering that this is a global change. This is not just the US. This is not just the UK or Europe, this is Asia, Africa, South America, Asia Pacific. This is a worldwide thing, and there are millions of people around the world looking to read books, and you may take off somewhere. So that's another thing to get sorted. And then finally, number five is sort out building your tribe. I get so many emails from people that are sort of this scattergun marketing approach around a book launch, people trying things and giving up and getting disheartened because they're trying to make an impact on Twitter in sort of 2 weeks and it doesn't work, or just not having the time to do everything. I totally see that. I really understand how scattergun marketing doesn't work. because there are more and more people, it will also be less and less effective. Also, things like paid promotion. When I used Kindle Nation Daily about a year ago, it was reasonably priced and worked. I used Pixel of Ink, again, reasonably priced and worked. But I know that all these sites are now inundated with people and it's got a lot more expensive. Now, we are business people, so what's the point in spending $300 on a marketing thing if you only make $100 back? You know, I don't know. I think you've got to think very carefully about any money you're going to spend and also the time you're going to spend on that type of thing. So my recommendation is think about building a tribe for the long term. And again, I know I always harp on about this. You need a decent website and you need an email list sign up at the back of your book. So I recommend using a WordPress site and also AWeber or MailChimp or something to do an email. Now, if you look at my fiction site at jfpen.com, you'll see that I don't even offer anything for free. I just say sign up here if you want to know about new books and updates and things. And people sign up for that every day, which is fantastic because it means I'm growing my fiction list. Now, on the Creative Pen, which if you're a non-fiction author, you should be modelling on the Creative Pen, you'll see that I have a giveaway, which is related to things, the Author 2.0 Blueprint. So again, that's a really good way of building an email list. So stop that scattergun marketing and for 2013, focus on the fundamentals, which are, you know, a website, your hub on the internet, and your Amazon page, and your, you know, your other pages that lead to that site, and then building that email list. Everything else can be extra and lead people to that site. But yeah, that should be your aim, is building your tribe over time for this long haul approach. So that is my five things to get sorted in 2013, and I will obviously be doing all kinds of interviews and exciting things like that. Coming up, the next interview is going to be with a children's author and illustrator, so you can look forward to that. I've also got an interview on press releases. I've got one on fight scenes again, which I know I do this occasionally, but I do love fight scenes, and that will be coming. I've got stuff on audiobook production, which is going to be awesome. Audiobooks is something I want to do this year, so that's really important. So lots of exciting stuff to come. Oh, I've also got one on marketing fiction with video, which I'm particularly looking forward to. So lots to look forward to on the podcast for 2013. I shall sign off now. So yeah, you can email me if you want at joanna@thecreativepen.com with any feedback or comments or questions. And the backlist again is at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. Right, happy new year and see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!